You're live on Purple Haze Radio. Cannabis Lifestyle Radio.
Good afternoon here from Purple Haze Properties. This is Chef Patrick Mosier. You're listening to the initial installment of the Reliable Bud Kitchen Show.
Absolutely.
I'm here with Chef Sandra Mallett. Sandra, how you doing?
I'm doing very good, thank you. Thanks for having me.
So this show is about food and marijuana, basically.
Two of my favorite things.
Yeah, mine too. They typically go hand in hand, but, you know, so give a little background on myself. I've been a chef for 30 years. Sandra, you've been around about the same amount of time. We both have a good pedigree. We've done a little Michelin star
well, you
work.
Might have one.
Come on. We've been the person behind the person several times, right? You know, Sandra actually specializes a little more on the pastry side than I do. I mostly do savory. But she's brought a little treat in today. But before we get into those, give us a little bit of background.
Well, actually, I had a very auspicious start to being a chef. I was a mortgage broker. And I just made a career change and really wanted to develop more of my creativity. And frankly, people don't thank you when you're a mortgage broker. They're just pissed at you. But when you hand them a really good plate of food, they're really happy. So
are they pissed because they give you a big commission?
Yeah. Oh, gosh, yeah. No matter what I do, I could be like, I saved you $4,500 a month. And they're like, why are you driving a Jaguar? And I'm like, well, because you called me at 2 a.m. last night on Friday and I answered your phone call and I answered your questions.
You know, but in that respect, it's like being a chef, right? It's a 24/7 job.
Absolutely. Absolutely. But right. I really enjoyed being able to make that change and definitely apply some of my, you know, financial and management skills towards becoming a chef, which, as you know, in our industry, you have like the business person mm-hmm. and the artist, and often you don't get them together. So I was happy because I could price things out and make my bosses happy. Hey, we're under.
Yeah, it's not often that we're under budget in restaurants.
No.
So how did that parlay into more of an edible side of the cooking?
Well, I've always been I hope my mom and dad aren't listening. I've always been a cannabis smoker.
A self-proclaimed pothead, I think
yeah,
is what we call it.
Yeah, self-proclaimed
right?
pothead. Probably couldn't have gotten through high school or, you know, being through all of that without it. But what I did end up doing is some family members had friends. My stepmom's best friend had MS, and I would make her my caramels. That's how I originally started. And I really enjoyed making them in school, so I was like, hey, let's parlay this into that. And
But wait, so back then, though, I mean, you didn't have distillate.
No.
You could just, so you had to make canna butter first.
School.
Okay.
I did canna butter first, and I would make oils and things like that. And my best friend was also, unfortunately, very ill with cancer, and I would just start experimenting with different ways to produce products with cannabis. But caramels always were a favorite of mine.
Yeah, I don't know anyone who doesn't like caramels.
I know.
And you don't just make caramels. I mean, you make the Brock's kind of vanilla caramels. But what's the other treat in that bag? Those are they're the most delicious non-caramel caramel I've ever had.
Yeah, I'm a total candy addict, whether I'm high or not. It's bad. So I was trying to make more of like a Tootsie Roll because I could eat like probably 100 Tootsie Rolls a day. Those little midget ones or the longer ones that are like 2.5 inches long and skinny, those are great too.
But, fun size.
Fun size, exactly. But I really enjoy a basic caramel recipe, and I simply just add some chocolate to it or other flavors, and that's what I do like about the caramels.
So we tried some of the caramels a little before the show, but they're not kicking in yet. So we got Sandra a pre-roll here. She's having a 707 pre-roll. Those Humboldt County, is that where they're from?
Yes,
yep.
They are. They're really nice.
Yeah, they smell really nice.
I'm sorry,
well, you know, I have to do edibles because the minute I smoke, I'm done. So it'll be a very quiet show after that. All right, so we got into that side of the edible business, which was more recreational, right? And now, what have you seen change over the last 10 years? I mean, for me, the last 15 years, the first five were, you know, you saw a lot of medical stuff coming out. But it was still kind of all under the table. But since medical went legal, what have you seen as far as, I mean, I've seen people take things to new heights that I never thought they could with cannabis.
Well, what I like is as things became more of a freedom and the stigma was gone, you saw certainly like people like of our caliber and chefs that are our peers experimenting and doing things and just making these amazing like pop-up dinners or these really exciting products. I get approached daily by people presenting me with these really great ideas.
Mm. Well, you're pretty tight with some of the big chefs here in LA.
I do get to enjoy that. I just love going out to eat, and I think LA has so many, you know, diversified restaurants. I think we need to have the first cannabis food truck too. That would be awesome.
You know, as soon as those licenses become available, we have some ideas for that. Actually,
well, what's great is you can have the the traveling cannabis products, and then you can buy your munchies as well, all in one place.
You know, I see some of those cafes popping up where they have a dispensary with a cafe attached, or like a coffee shop, mm-hmm. and so you can enjoy what you purchased in the. There's Santa Monica. I think I just saw one. Okay, just for everyone who doesn't know, I don't live in LA. I'm in the middle of transitioning out here. But you can hear us here every day as we go forward right here at Purple Haze Properties on Dash Radio. And this is the Reliable Bud Cannabis and Kitchen Show. It's probably not what I said earlier, but we're going to keep naming this until we get it right. So we're here with Chef Sandra Mallett, and we're discussing edibles. You know, one of the big things I see now, you talked about pop-up dinners, is multi-course, somewhere between, you know, 3 and 10 courses as a dinner. What's your preferred method of infusing the cannabis into the food?
Well, I really do feel, and you and I were talking about this earlier, mm-hmm. The dosing is really important, especially in a meal like that, because you don't know what your clientele is about, and just because they've smoked a few joints, if they're not used to ingesting cannabis and it's a 7 or 8 course meal, even if it's a lower dose, it can really affect somebody.
Mm-hmm. Adds up.
So I try to not layer all of mine. I don't use like a salad oil and a can of butter and a this and a that. I will mostly use a distillate and dose it out, you know, appropriately. And we even discussed where you said if there's some people that have a higher tolerance, you can adjust it accordingly. But I really...
Yeah. Well, and one of the things for me is, you know, I like distillate because if you get a really clean distillate, like we're talking about with your caramels, the clean distillate, you have no kind of residual flavor. You can do whatever you want as a chef. And you're not hiding the cannabis. But first and foremost, for me as a chef,
is the taste of the food.
I want to taste the ingredients of the food. That doesn't mean I won't add some terpenes on occasion to an emulsion or a sauce or a dressing. But first and foremost, I know you lose a little bit of the body high sometimes with that clean distillate. But first and foremost is the food. Mm-hmm. And then you're just enhancing that with the cannabis.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, and that's what it's all about for me. And I try to go from, you know, maybe 2 to 5 milligrams per course. If, you know, 2 if it's a multi 8, 7, 8 course meal. And then we talked about how do you layer that in? Do you start with, you know, because you get, you know, sativa and indica and CBDs and terpenes. And, well, you know, for me, I like to kind of start them out a little, you know, start them out lower. So you start them out with the indica, put them in the couch a little bit so they can actually focus on the food and the chatter quiets down and they have a couple of bites. And then as you go into the 3rd or 4th course, then you add a little bit of the sativa in there to kind of bring them back awake, but you don't want to be going home all twitchy and high, so then you just finish it with CBDs for me. I know I'm kind of wasting chocolate sauces and things like that that can be infused with cannabis, especially the distillates hide really well in chocolate. But, you know, better safe than sorry. And then what's the golden rule at the end? Only Uber home, right?
Right, only Uber home.
Uber in, Uber out.
Uber in, Uber out, exactly. No, I just feel that there's definitely a responsibility. But I also think I've had some ideas with pop-ups where I think it would be a lot of fun to even pair them like with your favorite, let's say, pre-roll or your favorite flower. And you can bring a grower or a different vendor into it with you and, you know, do pairings. Like I was talking to one of the pre-roll companies when I was at one of the big events. And I was like, it'd be great if you developed your own little, you know, pre-roll for me, and we match the flour to each thing.
Well, and I know there are a few chefs that do that. They match the flour per course, where instead of actually infusing the food with a distillate or some sort of THC infusion, they'll take and they'll do either a pre-roll or a dab, and they match that per course. I mean, there's a very famous show out there that we all see every week that does that, that's been doing that for a while. But I think that's kind of kind of the haute cuisine version of this? I mean, for me, it's really about the food.
Yeah, you can give me a medicated, you know, cheeseburger all day long. We're good. In fact, In-N-Out Burger, if you're listening, that should be the next addition to your menu.
Oh, I love it. And so, you know what? You could just brush it with can of butter right before it goes out.
Oh, yeah.
How good would that be, like a double cheeseburger?
Yeah, on a brioche roll. Just change the roll, a little brush with butter.
I ate an edible a couple weeks ago. I had a cookie from some great producer's Love's Oven up in Denver. And my son, about an hour later, sent me a picture of a cheeseburger he had made with French toast. He made two French toast cheeseburgers. And I was so hungry. I was about ready to drive the hour to College Station to where he goes to school at A&M to go grab one of them. But I couldn't. I shouldn't have anyway because I had been eating. But, yeah, I really see as popular as flour is always going to be, it's always going to be the number one seller, I think. Mm-hmm. I really see that, you know, so I just turned 50. I'm now mortal. And for me...
I got you beat.
Yeah, well, as much as I love to smoke... Well, you don't look it, but as much as I love to smoke...
Thank you.
I like the controlled dosage that I can get from an edible. And it's discreet. And I don't have to worry about going outside. And if you're in a state where I am a lot of times where it's not kosher, then I can still enjoy and be discreet.
And see, that's interesting because I feel like I'm the opposite. I really don't enjoy edibles myself because they just creep up on me. And everything I eat seems to have a different effect. And I don't like that you're not in control effect. And for some reason...
Well, I think a lot of people, though, you know, they talk about, well, edibles can be scary. Yeah, because they taste so good. You know, you have one little bite-sized cookie that's got 10 milligrams. Well, you know, more's got to be better if you have the munchies, so you might as well have six. But the thing is, they can sneak up on you. I think that's one of the reasons that I do appreciate them is the dosing, right? Because you can everything's tested. You can monitor, you know, what your dosing is going to be. But if you are a home chef and you want to do things at home, one of the reasons I'm a proponent of distillate or oils is because you know exactly what's in the syringe and how you can dose a single batch of brownies. And then it's a simple mathematic formula. You know, canna butter is great. I love canna butter. It's my favorite medium
to
work
dose.
With. It's hard to dose unless you send it off and get it tested.
Yeah.
And, you know, most of us aren't going to send it off and get it tested. Now, there's a basic formula you can use as long as you use the same strain all the time. But it really is it's a science. I mean, and it's not an easy process, you know. No. Who wants to wait 8 hours for it to come out of the crock pot and then press it and put it back in and warm it up the next day? I don't. I mean, or 4 hours or 6 hours, you know, it just depends on.
I don't know. There's something really gratifying about, you know, the butter cooking and it starts cooking and, you know, you wake up in the morning and it's ready and, you know, and then you get to stick it in the cooler.
Well, and just keep stirring it so it emulsifies, so it's the same all the way through. You know, that pretty
green. I used
to
make butter. This is terrible. My stepmom, she'll probably hate me for this, but when I was not really particularly dosing things, I was making butter for her friends, and I would, you know, make blocks of butter. And I, going to cooking school, I decided I was going to leave a mark on my butter, so I used Florida-style salt. I put a bit of cognac in it, and then I put, you know, vanilla beans in it. And that thing, it was awesome. Oh, it was beautiful.
I made garlic herb butter with it, you know, to, like, put on a steak.
Yeah.
It's great. It's great for parties when you're
going to
do it.
Oh, you can have lots of fun with it. And I remember
hotel butters,
some.
As we say in the industry.
Oh, yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I remember that. But, no, she decided to put a little pat on her pasta. The scary thing was that my dad said she normally, you know, she's always talking. And the funny part was, is there was quiet, you know, like when kids are in the house and it's really quiet, it's never a good thing. So he looked back and her face was in the plate, you know, and she didn't wake up until like 3 o'clock the next day.
It's like a scene out of Deuce Bigelow, Male
exactly.
Gigolo, right? Where she goes and she has a narcoleptic attack and almost drowns in the soup.
But again,
I had a cat that couldn't walk one time, and I was wondering why. No, because I had made butter, right? And I left the bowl on the counter for a little while. And, you know, my dogs can't get on the counter, but, you know, cats obviously can get wherever they want to go. If a cat wants to get somewhere, it's going to get there.
It's going to get there.
Yeah, so a little while later...
You can see them conjugating verbs.
Yeah. A little while later, I felt terrible because I saw the cat with its legs literally sprayed out on the floor and like trying to stand up, one leg coming under and going. It's like a really, really live really not funny live cartoon, but I did laugh, but I felt so bad. You know, I actually took it to the vet.
And we are not advocates of getting your animals high.
No, I'm at the opposite. If you're going to give your dog something or your cat something, you know, CBD-based product is the best, right? Yeah. Something that's maybe full spectrum, but really low 0.3%
THC. I actually tried one of those products on my cats because my older one does have a little bit of anxiety. And it was a natural product. And you know what? It was really nice, and I added a little bit to his food. And it really helped calm him down. But, you know, I was able to talk to them about it, and it was just a CBD product. It wasn't a THC product.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they'll usually have, like, 0.3% or less. Yeah, so they can sell
them
anyway.
It did help him, you know, and he was having anxiety for some reason.
Absolutely. I have a story about that in a minute, but that butter, I'm telling you, the cat must have just not had very much because I could feel it. I didn't wear gloves, and you know about
it through your skin.
I did, and you know it doesn't. THC does not absorb well through the skin. It depends on the oil it's suspended in, but CBDs nor THC don't absorb well. So I must have had a pretty strong batch because I was like, why am I so? I didn't even taste it. Why am I high? I'm just lethargic, and then I looked at the poor cat, and I'm like, ugh. The butter went through my hands, and the butter went in her mouth. And so anyway, I rushed her to the... there was not a problem. She was fine by the time I got her home a couple hours later. Oh, but if you're cooking at home, you know, there are certain safety precautions you need to take.
Don't give any to your cat.
Yeah, don't give any to your cat. Don't let your cat get on the counter. Keep your animals out of the room where you're cooking, first and foremost.
Well, yeah.
Secondly, as soon as you're done with your plate, the utensils, a bowl... make sure that it gets washed immediately in hot water, and then put it in the dishwasher afterward to make sure that you get everything out and it's rinsed down the drain properly.
Absolutely.
And wear gloves. If you're making butter especially, wear gloves because that oil, I mean, it can be so concentrated, it just really goes into your skin. And you'll be wondering why you're so high before you even made something with it.
Well, and that's not always a bad thing.
As long as you have nowhere else to go and you're not going to drive, it's fine.
Yeah. No, exactly. I have a story. When we were on... making edibles before the year changed at a commercial kitchen. We had normally made some other products, but I was making some caramels there as well, and I had my staff with me. And the funny part was there was a point in time where we all forgot that it was medicated caramel. And so everybody's taking bits. So I have a premise to this whole story, but what was really funny was one person like passed out, another person wasn't affected, another person was laughing the whole time, and me, I sang the entire score to Sound of Music and never skipped a beat on wrapping packages, and it's all on tape because they had everything videotaped, and it was really scary.
So we need to get a clip of that and play
we
in the background one
do.
That we need to.
But
is the I'm person going- that passed out snoring?
I don't remember because I was singing like Cameron Diaz in that movie My Best Friend's Wedding when they did the karaoke, and she like was singing like she was actually like, you know, using a bullhorn or something. Yeah, that was me. But my point to the story is when you are making things at home, be careful. Just because it tastes good doesn't mean you lick the spoon 40 times and take everything out of the pan, because guess what? If you're not used to it, you're going to get really sick, and you might get, you know, really surprised.
Yeah, you know, and there's
and
some...
And that was the moral to my story.
Yeah,
just be careful.
Well, and understanding the ingredients. You know, the most important, not the most important, but the most prominent ingredient in anything that you're making as an edible is going to be the THC-infused product. Whether it's a straight distillate, whether it's an oil, a tincture, some sort of extract or butter. So I always caution everyone to err on the side of eating a little less than you normally would, half of what you would normally consume, until you know how it's going to affect you. Because, again, if it's not a really high oil content product, it's also not going to absorb very quickly. It has to go through the digestive system. So you want to give it a 30 or 40 minutes, maybe sometimes 45 to an hour.
Unlike things like the caramels and the candies. Mm-hmm. And that's something that people don't realize.
Those are quicker.
You eat a caramel, it's going to dissolve in your mouth. It's like I like to make them in a couple of different forms. I make them in... the sugar daddy, you know, type format where it's going to pull your entire set of teeth out. And I also make it where it's the soft kind of melt in your mouth. And that just goes right into your system.
Well, and
you know,
just...
it just feels like you can really be affected quickly, especially if you did it first thing in the morning.
And for those of you who are just joining us, this is Patrick Mosier, Chef Patrick Mosier, here on the Purple Haze Properties on Dash Radio. And we're here with Chef Sandra Mallett on the Reliable Bud Kitchen Show talking about marijuana and munchies.
Absolutely.
Well, food in general, but yes. So
And some safety precautions.
Yeah, back to the caramels, though, because you and I discussed this. There's a reason that not many people make caramels.
Yes.
You want to share that with us?
It's not done till it's done. And that PETA can be an hour.
Pain in the ass.
You are standing there. I mean, I make them by hand. Yes, I can go and purchase a really great tabletop or full-on corner of the room, unbelievably orgasmic kind of cooking machine that's unbelievable. Maybe could even be like that machine Barbarella had. Remember that one? They're that cool of a machine. But I like to do it by hand, which means you stand there the whole time and stir it, because it'll burn. It'll burn fast. And it's bad enough to burn regular caramel, but when you're burning cannabis caramel, you really get pissed.
You cry. Yeah, I've cried before.
But it's very fulfilling and very satisfying, because you know what? When you do make it by hand, it's, you know, it's your creation, and you're not just pressing a digital button. And so I really get satisfaction out of it. And just watching it, when you get it to that texture, and believe it or not, you actually do know when it's done. I don't use a thermometer anymore.
Well, I love the fact that caramel is one of those things. It's about the process, not just the ingredients, right? You can make a simple caramel with sugar, butter, and cream, really. I mean, you could make, right? But to make, you know, something that doesn't harden up completely, you need a few more ingredients there. We're not going to go through all those, because we don't give away any secrets. But it really is. It's a long and arduous process that pays off in the end.
And you can get hurt. That stuff's hot.
Yes, it is. And have a couple sugar burns.
And it spits at you.
Yeah.
It just says, yeah, bitch, you're not going to win. And I'm like, no, I'm going to, because I have the spatula.
You know, we made some hard candies up in Colorado, and we were trying to make some really kind of Christmassy decoration ones, you know, where you put sugar
and ribbon candy.
Yeah, ribbon candy, basically. So you put sugar and set you with another band of sugar. So you get sugar to a certain, no, not yet, right at the end of the show, though. She's asking me if I want to smoke, and I would love to, but, you know.
Well, you might not need to, because you're just sitting there.
I know, I'm sitting there with it right in my face.
I just
don't
do well with my left hand as much.
It's all good. It's fine. But yeah, so we were doing ribbons, basically, and then we did some where you fold other colors inside. And the process is you get sugar to, you know, this past the caramel stage, to past softball to this hardball stage, but you have to work. So it's at like 300 degrees? I don't know where it's at. It's pretty hot, though. Hot enough to burn a hole through your skin, and you can't pick it off when it sticks to you.
No, I do this at about 275, I think.
Yeah. Well, I'm above 300, but maybe 340. But when you're working with it, so you know, when you get it out and you start to work with the sugar, you knead it and pull it. It's like working with taffy. And so we have these big marble slabs we work on. And I haven't worked, you know, I'm a working chef, but I don't work with sugar very often. And, you know, pulling something out of the oven at, you know, 400 degrees when you're grabbing a steak with your bare hands out of a pan is one thing. Molten sugar is different. So you have to put it down and you let it congeal a little bit and cool on that marble, and then you move it around, or you can use a stainless steel table. But then you use these paddles to kind of move it around, dough scrapers. Mm-hmm. And then as it gets cooler, which is really not cold, not cool at all, then you start working with your hands. And you can use gloves, but the gloves kind of get tacky and sticky and start to stick to your fingers. So
I can take my fingerprints.
Well, you know what? I literally had no fingerprints. I was all blisters by the end of it. But it was so much fun, because we made some ribbon candy, and we made those Christmas candies that are like red on the outside, green on the outside, kind of like a Christmas tree in the middle.
And that's an art. That's an art. That's
it
really fascinating to
took
watch.
Took us several batches, and I still think that even though there's really not oil in that, it leaches through the candy into your skin as well, because I was pretty high by the end of that show. It was really fun, though. But we made about 1,000 pieces.
Wow.
Yeah, and there are none left. The ribbons were the most fun. I hadn't worked with ribbons since culinary school.
I like making candy canes.
Oh, yeah, they're the best. Or sponge sugar.
Yeah.
You remember that? Like croquembouche? Okay, we're getting into culinary terms nobody really cares about, but basically that would be the ultimate stoner Christmas dessert. So croquembouche is like this big Christmas tree looking thing, but it's made of cream puffs.
Yeah.
And then, so you stack, you fill the cream puffs, and then you put a little bit of the...
You could infuse the Bavarian cream inside.
Yeah, that's what you... Yeah, and then you stack them with a little bit of the Bavarian cream between them.
And drizzle medicated chocolate on top.
Yeah, oh, yeah, tempered chocolate, so it rehardens.
Just totally Jackson Pollock it, spin it.
Yeah, and then you take this thing called spun sugar, which is basically like rock candy stage caramel-colored sugar.
And they have those really cool brushes.
Yeah,
like
and
that
well,
steel thing.
Well, you know what it is. Actually, you take a whisk. So you have to get you need multiple filaments, right? You're trying to make this really fine, bendable scarf.
It's like a scarf
of sugar. Yeah, it's like a scarf made of these really fine twines of sugar. And so what I do is that you take a whisk and you cut the on the fat end of the whisk that you use in the bowl. You cut the ends of that off, so you basically just have all these fingers sticking out mm-hmm. that are the same length. And that's
like
what you
those
use.
Weird things you scratch your head with that you get for Christmas. That
oh yeah,
you
yeah.
That
nobody,
with.
Yeah, that nobody. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Nobody uses.
I used it on my cat, and he freaked out.
What is it with us and cats today? We're kind of cruelty to. Okay, it wasn't intentional cruelty, but
I thought the cat would, you know, enjoy the massage. But apparently, I was wrong. I had good intentions, but as we know, good intentions don't always bring good results, right?
It's really hard to measure by the intent. You have to measure by the outcome, regardless. Yeah,
I try.
I know. Yeah. Holding myself accountable is not always easy.
I freaked Fluffy out. Mm-hmm.
So tell us a little more about the caramel. I mean, do you have a brand for the caramels?
Well.
You don't have to talk about it yet, for you're not ready to release it. But you know, we're looking to be on shelves pretty quick with this product, aren't you?
I reserved a really cool name, and I kind of look at this whole industry as it's like the Wild West. So I have named my products that I'm going to be working under the Cannabis Haberdashery.
Nice.
Because it has everything, and it's kind of a Wild West, you know, theme. And yes, guys, I did see The Hateful Eight, and I was channeling that a bit, okay? So Quentin's got full clarification of that. We're good. But I do think this is like the Wild West. I've never seen anything like this. It just keeps changing by the day.
Oh, yeah, yeah. By leaps and bounds.
Absolutely.
It's crazy.
And it's very exciting and incredibly frustrating and infuriating, but at the same time, I think it's more exciting because we're all on this adventure. And I know that I've been doing edibles and smoking for so many years, and finally, yeah, we're bitching about that it's taking a tough time, but look at it. It's legal. Let's just figure this out.
So is there anybody, you know? And do you have a favorite dispensary you want to get a shout out to that you'd like to see these on the shelves of soon?
Any dispensary is a favorite dispensary as far as I'm concerned, but I do like to visit the ones out in Woodland Hills. There's a really cool one out here in Canoga Park called DC Collective. There's another one called SoCal out here, and there's
you know, I went to MedMen because they were, you know, earlier in the in January when they
I liked
were,
Buds and Roses.
Buds and Roses, good, yeah. But I have to say, they were actually very professional there, and it's the first time I didn't feel like I was being handled in a dispensary. And I know California law is a little different. I spend a lot of time in Colorado and Massachusetts. You know, you're like given to a specific bunt tender, one person when you're walking through the door up there, and you're with them the entire time. They're like, you're kind of on a leash.
That's
with
what,
them.
That's what, like, the two I mentioned were like, they're like, I like that too. But I also like different people too.
Yeah. Well, MedMed was nice because they just kind of asked you if they could help you with anything, and then just kind of let you browse around. It was a really nice experience, actually. I was there with my good friend Arlene Weiss sitting here in studio with us today. How you doing, Arlene? So back to kind of what we're talking about. I was actually in D.C. over the weekend, or earlier this week, the last few days. I was working in Maryland and Washington, D.C., and we were working on some legislative action to get some more licenses released in Maryland for processing and growing. But one of the fun things that I saw, Massachusetts, I actually work with a group out of Massachusetts, and we have a lot of things going on. That's where the Reliable Bud team lives. Big shout out to Reliable Bud. Thank you guys for a wonderful weekend. We actually did a big Bring Your Own Cannabis event, a BYOC, up in Spencer, Massachusetts. And actually, we have another event coming up sometime around the 24th of March, I think a little closer to Boston, maybe Framingham, so we can kind of draw from the Worcester college crowd.
Way.
And then we can, yeah, you know what? We'll have you up there as a guest. We'll set you up with a table, and we'll give out some samples.
Cool.
Absolutely. But anyway, these BYOC events are really big back there because there are no dispensaries on the recreational side. So in D.C., D.C.'s kind of cracked down on the pop-ups, you know, where they're having people doing some great edible stuff, savory as well as well as you know, the dessert side of things. But I saw this lady did this one wonderful product that she was had brought to the BYOC event, and she had chicken drumsticks that she had marinated in this amazing like oh my god, it was like a jerk chicken spice, and then she had baked those off, and she was the first person to sell out at the event. It was unbelievable. Usually it's one of the flower guys sells out first, but she was the first one. Matter of fact, I'll look her card up here in a little bit. But
that sounds good.
It was unbelievable. And they you know, they're really working in Massachusetts to push really quickly forward on the getting the recreational dispensaries open, but it's tough, you know, the legislation and the bar keeps moving.
No, it is.
But
you know,
hey,
speaking
you know,
of fried chicken, there's a product out there that some of the companies are creating. One of them that I found out, TH Design, which does some really cool stuff.
Yeah, they're one of the big names out there.
They have a powder, mm-hmm. so you could do a fried chicken and add that to your flour,
infuse
and
it into
dose
flour.
It. Mm-hmm. You know, so that you really wouldn't have to do anything real challenging. So, if you have someone who is, you know, suffering from any kind of, you know, illnesses or anything.
Awesome. Well, you know, the great thing about that, though, is if you have that powder, you could... So if you're making a ranch dressing, mm-hmm. you know, like a homemade ranch dressing or something like that, you could just kind of put a little in there. That way, no matter what you eat, you got the great, you know, the great vibes coming. One of the things I saw that was unique, one of the Cannabis Cup winners last year, I think, in, was it last year or 2016, was a barbecue sauce. You know, these great lines of barbecue sauces and... I actually had an idea, and I saw it already out there, so I can let the cat out of the bag. But I had an idea. What if you did a pizza sauce? Mm-hmm. You know? And the frozen edibles, they're... I mean, I've done a marinara sauce before, and I've done pasta sauces. But I think pizza, you're automatically going to get a pizza. At some point during the night, you're going to have pizza if you're high. You might as well just start
out
with the pizza.
Have you seen those pizza boxes where there's a little insert where it becomes a pipe?
Yeah.
Those are great.
You gotta, hey, it beats having to cut an apple, right?
Yeah, those are great. Haven't we all done that?
Or
the
pop
honey
can.
Bear, the
pop
honey
can.
Bear, and the pop can.
One of the things I think is interesting about the edibles market is, again, these savory products that are coming out. Mm-hmm. But one thing I think there's a huge gap in, if you guys want to capitalize on this, I'm going to give you a couple ideas I have, and maybe somebody could run with it. But, you know, like an ice cream sandwich where you put it in the cookies. I know there's logistical problems there, because you got to keep it frozen the entire time and all that. But I'm telling you what, I've seen some ice cream and frozen thing desserts, but typically it's more like a frozen tiramisu or something like that. But I'm telling you, ice cream sandwiches where you just dose mm-hmm. the, you know, I guess.
So would honey. I've been actually doing a lot of research on bees and what's going on. And by the way, folks, you definitely need to look into what's going on with the bees. We don't have bees. We don't have food. So since we're talking about food, it's important to recognize that there's a lot of problems going on with bees. And there's a lot of unnecessary violence towards them. A lot of, you know, farms are getting their hives, like, vandalized and stuff. So anyways, like, just be alert of that. But they are doing some studies where they're trying to see if they can get bees to colonize on, you know, pot plants, cannabis plants, to see if they can produce...
I don't know why they couldn't, because you have
there's flour and there's stuff that attracts.
Well, they do everything from clover to buckwheat, and buckwheat's not a real it doesn't really have a flour, right?
No.
But have you the honey that comes from it is intense. It's almost chocolate dark.
Yeah.
And
it's like
very it is. It's very robust.
Like blackstrap.
Exactly. And it turns into it starts to crystallize very quickly in the jar.
Yeah.
You know, so I'm kind of a buff of facts that are useless, you know, useless information.
Me too.
But one of the did you know the only food that doesn't spoil? The only food. Honey. It will crystallize and it will harden, but it never spoils.
Yeah.
It's interesting that something has you know, it's got these amazing antibacterial properties. But it can harbor botulism,
yes.
Which is why they say don't give it to kids. But, you know, we'll balance that out with a little cannabis in there, and it's not a problem. So I'm seeing a lot of infused honey products, mm-hmm. actually. I've seen some maple honey butters mm-hmm. that have THC in them, and I see a lot of I haven't seen the actual cannabis honey where they use where they're actually going to the plant. I know they're trying that. But I've seen some infusions that are pretty good. There's a botanical company up in Massachusetts that does a pretty good job. So what do you
then it makes you your dosing at home easier too, because
absolutely,
as we're saying, it lasts forever. So
yeah, I mean, honey, and even the butters, if you keep the butters in the fridge, or if you infuse some coconut oil is probably my favorite, because it's A, it's a really healthy fat, and B, if you, it really doesn't show up, the flavor doesn't show up too much. It's okay, butter's easier to hide because butter's butter. I mean, everything's better with butter, as Julia Childs would say.
I'm going to be buried with some Snickers bars, a six-pack of Diet Coke, and a couple of pounds of butter.
What kind of butter? Is there anything specific?
French butter.
Well, you know, there's that
hand-rolled, you know, like,
oh, yeah,
like, you know, like,
with a
like
fleur de sel on it.
Antoinette had that kind of shit. I want that in my... I want that in my coffin with me.
Well, you know, we have a close thing down in Texas. We have plou gras, which is actually a
That's very good.
A very good butter, but you
that's
know,
what I used for this.
You know where that
that's
came
what
from?
I used for the
you know that you know that came about. So there are a bunch of European bakers, German bakers and French bakers in Texas about 100 years ago, 150 years ago, and they couldn't get good butter, and they decided that they would start raising cattle and making their own butter for their own consumption. It became so popular that the brand is probably, you know, as far as, you know, a really nice gourmet butter in the United States, it's probably the best brand and the biggest out there
awesome.
For chefs.
I love that it's like, it's just big hunk of butter. Awesome.
Yeah, I like the Kerrygold Irish butter. I'm a, you know, kind of,
nice too.
You know, Patrick, I'm a little
that
Irish.
That Fleur de Sel butter is lovely.
Yeah,
and Vermont
really nice.
Butter, that Vermont Creamery, they do some nice stuff. But you can do...
Are we getting off topic?
No, because I use butter in my caramels. We're never off topic.
Oh, yeah, there is a lot of butter in the caramels, actually.
Yeah.
Yeah. We're not going to give ratios, sorry. Actually, you know what? You know what we should do? Is we should tweet out a caramel recipe that they can make at home.
Absolutely.
Okay. I have a Twitter handle, @foodbizpro. I think maybe I need to come up with one. I'll disclose here in a minute. I need to see if it's taken, but I think we'll do that. And so I think each show, I think one of our goals should be A, at least one recipe you can try at home, right? And B...
Yes.
We should start messing around with like a product of the week, like whether it's a tool, a kitchen utensil, or maybe we're just going to highlight one product, which
well,
this week is obviously...
There's a lot of stuff that can be done. There's also a really great company that I worked with on magicalbutter.com where people can actually make their butters and things at home. So we
A lot of great tools now. You know, it was really complex in the past, and even kind of working through the decarboxylation process where you have to heat cannabis to release the THC if you're not going to make a butter or an oil from it where you're heating it directly in the suspension liquid. It's really tricky.
That sounded very scientific, Chef Patrick.
You know, on occasion I get it right.
Okay.
But so decarboxylation is just the heating of the cannabis to turn THCA into THC, which is digestible in the body, right? Because your body actually makes THCA. Right, it just doesn't make you high. It has to be heated to a certain temperature.
It really should, though. It's been a really rough week. That'd be cool.
So you know what? If we could heat our body, we'd burn up in the flames. So it's a thought. I don't think we could get ourselves.
Well, then that comes into the topic of what is it? Self combustion.
Oh, spontaneous combustion. I used to read those stories
all the
time.
That's the topic for next week and how it relates to what you eat.
How to prevent yourself from spontaneous combustion. Once again, as a last reminder here, this is Chef Patrick Mosier. We're here at Purple Haze Properties, right here on Dash Radio. And this is the Reliable Bud Kitchen. And, what are we going to call this? Just Reliable Bud. Reliable Bud, we got to think of something better than that. Reliable Bud, by the way, is a great application. It's a seed-to-sell solution. It's kind of like Angie's List meets Yelp. You can go on there, rate the other users. You can build a storefront for free. It's totally cost-free. ReliableBud.com, or you can go to the App Store, or if you have one of those other funky phones, you can get it on that application site as well. Anyway, they're our sponsor here. I'm very grateful. Andrew, you're not in the room, but thank you very much for having us on today as the proprietor here at Purple Haze Properties, along with Leon Hendricks. And Chef Sandra, what other products you got coming down the pipeline with your haberdashery? What's the full name?
The Cannabis Haberdashery.
That's a mouthful. Cannabis Haberdashery.
It is, but you'll remember it.
So
hopefully.
Very soon, I would expect that we will see, as a matter of fact, I know we're going to see vanilla and chocolate caramels.
Yes. And I am going to add probably a walnut to it and maybe a nougat to it. Then I'm going to, if you've never had homemade marshmallows, then
I have.
You're going to die and go to heaven. So I want to do a bunch of different marshmallows.
Real marshmallow can't be beat. I'm telling you.
No,
marshmallows.
It's unbelievable.
Yeah. Anyway, this is.
So I want to do things like that. I am going to also put together possibly a line of infused butters, like a compound butter. Like we were talking earlier about hotel butter, which is what, lemon zest and parsley.
Yeah, lemon zest, parsley, garlic, a little salt. Yeah,
it's like kind of the same but different at every hotel if you've been at a hotel.
Well, you know, and that's the great thing is there are so many applications. But all right, well, Chef Sander, I can't thank you enough for being on the show again. This is Patrick Mosier with the Reliable Bud Kitchen, and we're here at Purple Haze Properties signing off for the day. We'll talk to you tomorrow. Ciao for now.
Yep.
You're live on Purple Haze Radio. Cannabis Lifestyle Radio.